Welcome back to another episode of KD Time, that sometimes weekly but mostly timely podcast about your favorite topics, music, movies, TV shows, general nostalgia, some good feels, food, some sports here and there, and books, stories, whatever you want, I usually talk about it. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about the TV shows that got canceled after 1 year of service. We only got 1 year. 1 year. And I know that there are a lot of shows. There's thousands of shows. Thousands of shows that have gotten canceled after just 1 year. Like one season. And I'm going to talk about that. And I'm going to try to be as calm and not really vent. But I can't help it. If I start to rant, I'm warning you now. I might rant about some of the shows that have ended. But if you're willing to stick around and listen, please share, subscribe, enjoy. This episode is coming to you right now. It's wild to believe that TV is, you know, one of the biggest outlets for people. Most people, they watch TV and they sort of just get immersed into that world and just kind of use it as a form to block out the everyday life. You know, I use TV as an outlet to just sort of like disengage a little bit. Like, whatever my life's going through, I find a good TV show that's, like, doing the exact opposite, and I feel 100% better. Like, I'm laughing at the jokes, I'm engaged in the drama. And today, like, right now, as I'm recording this particular episode, there's a strike going on. And now, we are not getting new content for some time, because there are strikes going on between the writers and the actors. There's a whole thing going on right now. Now, you know, give or take, if this episode doesn't age well, I would understand that. But that's not really what this episode is about. It's not about the writer strike, and it's not about the actor strike. It's not about not getting new content. It's about content that was taken away from us at a very early time. And in this particular episode, I'm going to talk about shows that were gone too soon. They only lasted one season. Some shows don't even get that. Some shows don't even last one season. Some shows get canned within like a couple episodes. If people are not enthralled within the first episode or two, it's not going to make it. And that's just fact. Because I know for myself, whenever I start a new show, I try to give it at least 3 episodes. If I cannot get past the first or second episode, or like if I can't get to the third episode without being like, you know what, I'm just really not feeling this TV show, I can imagine what it's like for people who are doing the same thing. And I do understand, like, there's a lot of TV shows that got kicked to the curb after a year, and some folks were probably like really into them and they're just gone. It's happened to everyone. But for me, I know that if I can give a show at least 3 episodes, if they can hook me by the 3rd episode, I'm gonna watch the entire thing, no problem. That being said, here's my list of TV shows that were gone way too soon. Now, these TV shows are in no particular order. There's no rhyme or reason why I put them in this order, so don't try and overthink it. This is literally just TV shows that I saw and I really enjoyed, and then they were gone after the very first season. Starting off the list is Emily Owens, MD. It was a TV show about a young lady who happened to be a doctor. And it follows the life of Emily Owens, played by Mammy Gummer, when, she realized like she's trying to be a grown up and she's out of school, she's out of high school or whatever. And it's about her life. It's about what she's doing, who she's involved with, what she's getting into. And she graduates from medical school. She starts an internship at a hospital. And then she has an encounter with her med school crush, who's played by Justin Hartley. And it's interesting because this TV show came out, well, it was premiered in 2012. And I probably said this a bunch of times. I loved watching Smallville, and Smallville ended in 2010. 10 seasons, it ended in 2010. And then here, like, I'm looking at the new the TV show trailers for the new upcoming season, or like the new primetime lineup, and here's this show with Justin Hartley, and I'm just like, oh, okay, I could totally see myself watching this show. It looks really cute, really nice. I was trying to like not exactly compare it to Grey's Anatomy because Grey's Anatomy is on a whole different other level, but I was just intrigued by this particular TV series in general. And it had a lot of familiar faces. So, of course, I was just like, yeah, sure, let me watch this show. It has agent Naomi King from How to Get Away with Murder. It has Kelly McCreary, who just recently left Grey's Anatomy. Like, it had so many people, Harry Lennox, that it looked like it could draw in the right type of people to watch this show. And what I really enjoyed about the TV show Emily Owens MD was just like it kind of was a little bit like Grey's, like I said, like, but I wasn't trying to too much compare the two. And it's been years. It's been over 10 years that this show has now been released and then canceled. And what I really liked it. I really liked the show. And I wish it had more seasons. Like, listen, 10 years ago feels like a long time, but with some of these shows that I'll talk about, it still hurts. You know what I mean? Like, this young lady, she's awkward, she's like kind of quiet a little bit, but by the end of the season, she sort of comes into her own. Even though she still feels like a geeky kid, she's going to become someone's doctor someday. Like, she's going to be a doctor, even though it's an internship, that's what it is. And we kind of see the love interest, we kind of see that, like, her entire career could, be something special. But alas, we couldn't get to see that. They just had to cut it off for whatever reason. According to, the reception, like, E Online described the TV show as a mix between Grey's Anatomy and Mean Girls, which I don't know so much. I mean, there was one Mean Girl, there was one rivalry, but it didn't feel like it was kind of Mean Girl-esque. It was more so like, yeah, there's competition because everybody's fighting to get a certain position, or everybody's trying to fight to do their job. And with medical work, yeah, you're in constant competition with your peers most of the time because, if you slip up, if you make a mistake, then they're gonna go with someone else, obviously. It's a lot more deeper than just girls that dislike each other and trying to, be secretly mean. It wasn't like that, at least not for me. And it's interesting because, like, I don't know. So this list that I'm gonna go through, most people might not have watched it. If you're listening and you have no idea what these TV shows are, I completely understand. And like, why am I talking about shows that ended 10 years ago? I don't know. I just felt like I just felt like it didn't get the right kind of stride. Like, by the end of its run, there wasn't, so like the viewership was very consistent in terms of like it didn't break the 2 million mark, it didn't go that high. And the average TV show gets at least 4 million, 5 million, 6 million views, I think. So, it wasn't that great. But viewers, like millions of viewers were watching this. If anyone's listening and they're just like, oh yeah, I remember that TV show, it was really good, thank you. 'Cause you know what I'm saying. Like, it just feels as though it shouldn't have ended the way it did. It shouldn't have just been canceled. I didn't like that. And then another thing you have to consider is the fact that like a lot of TV shows, when they get put into a certain slot of time, they're competing with other shows. So like Emily Owens was on the CW network and at Tuesdays, at Tuesdays at 9 o'clock, and on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock there's probably a bunch of other shows on ABC, NBC, CBS. So it kind of, if it didn't, like I said, if you're not gonna watch a couple episodes, if you're not gonna stay committed to watching a TV show and doesn't just grab you right off the back, TV shows have a hard time keeping up, and it's sad. Speaking of sad, the next TV show on this list is called Forever. It was a fantasy crime drama television series. It was a awesome TV show. It came out in 2014 to 2015. It only lasted a year, or it only lasted one season, and the premise was about Ian Gruffudd's character, who was a New York City medical examiner, and he studied the dead for criminal cases, but he was also trying to solve his own immortality. Like, honestly, guys, it was a roller coaster of a show. Like, this TV show had intrigue, it had gumption, it had like everything, in my opinion. And like, the show was basically like a complete mystery to anyone who is watching. For me, I'm watching and I'm just like, okay, well, I liked his character. This is, Mr. Fantastic. He does the stretch. He was the stretch guy. That's how I recognized him. And I was like, oh, well, this could be pretty good to watch. I might enjoy this. And like, the fact that he is a one he's a doctor who was treating slaves. His first official death was 200 years before, prior to him staying around, right? And he was aboard a ship in the African slave trade, and one of the owners, or the ship's owners, got frustrated, tried to kill him, threw him overboard, and somehow he doesn't stay dead, but he comes back to life. And every time he comes back to life, he is an alive, naked, and in the Hudson. He's in the water. So, it's just interesting that how is he still alive? And he deals with, there's someone else that's also from his time that continues to be revived. And what frustrates me the most is that we could not figure out why he kept returning back to life. Like, and the fact that it was canceled after a season just makes me mad, because I was like, I was so into it. I was like, what? Like, who's the other guy? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? And I mean, the other good thing is that he had somebody with him who was basically like his child. I mean, he raised him. It's hard to see, like, he's obviously not aging, but he has this old man that works with him that he's basically been taking care of since he was a baby. And he knows that he's immortal, but he's just, it's just a, it was a wild show, and I enjoyed it so much, and I'm just so sad that it did not continue. And it had some really good names in there, like Lorraine Toussaint and Judd Hirsch. Judd Hirsch, he was recently on The Goldbergs is one of the grandpas. And I just loved it so much. I just loved it so much. And the fact that, like, you know, he's been dealing with this for like 200 years. It was like, what? And he himself, he's come to peace with death. Like, he's like, all right, well, you know, I'd rather die. And he's tried to examine himself and figure out, like, he has the wound, but it was like, it was so mind bending. Like, I just wanted to know why he kept coming back to life and what, you know, what that all means in terms of, like, the mythology of this show. But man, this show had 22 episodes, and I can tell you that I watched every single one of them. You know, I was so upset. I was so upset. I was among the fans that were outraged. There's a bunch of people that were outraged. I'm still asking for them to bring the show back. It's been 7 years. Can't they bring it back by now? You know, it's been 7, 6 years, 8 years now. Oh my gosh. But there was a lot. There was a lot of people that whenever a show ended, they would rush to the media. And like, I remember on Twitter there was a hashtag Save Forever, and they still do that to this day. Like, people who notice that shows get canceled, they're like, hashtag save this show, hashtag save that show. And sometimes it works. Like, it worked with Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and Brooklyn Nine-Nine had a good 5 seasons on Fox, and then it got canceled. And then we the people were like, no, you cannot cancel Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Don't cancel Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Somebody pick it up. And then NBC picked it up for the final few seasons, and it was okay. I mean, I enjoyed the final few seasons, but still, it was just like, what the heck? And that's the thing, you know, like, shows just come and go, but it was such an outrage. And there was over 6,000 signatures within 2 days. There was over 12,000, and it did not, like, we it felt like we kind of failed, because it didn't come back. It didn't come back, but there was an unofficial graphic novel that continued. But still, man, it was wild. I was like, oh. And they had like a proposal and everything. Like, the writers had a proposal for season two to go to ABC and to Warner Brothers and all that stuff, and they pitched the idea. And it just things in the background that you don't, you know, you can't foresee. It was just so sad. If I could, if I could, I would love to be able to go back and watch it, like, for the first time, because it was such a good show. It was such a good show. And like, for the ratings, for the viewership, listen, okay, from the very pilot episode, they pulled in almost 12 million views, and then it declined after like episode 7 or whatever. But it was still like steady between 7 million, 8 million. Like, it was still steady. So it's like, I think one of the fears with these shows is like, if a certain amount of viewership is just not there, and they're expecting it to go back up. Because when you pull in from the very first episode, the pilot episode, almost 12 million views, and then all the way to the last episode where it was only 7 million, that's a big major difference. That's 5 million people not watching this show. And I can understand that, but there was still 7 million people watching the show. Like, at least 7 million people. And you know, back in 2015, I think it was a lot harder to, well, it was a lot, yeah, it was a lot easier for, you know, TV show producers and the companies to see how much people were actually watching the show. And now with streaming and everything, it's like even easier. There's so many ways that you can stream a show. But man, I am still livid at the fact that that show has ended. The next show on my list is Whiskey Cavalier. Now, this show came out in 2019, and it was an action comedy drama. Okay, it was created by David Hemmingson, and this show, like, I don't know why I enjoyed the show so much. Like, I guess I really liked who the actors and actresses were. Like, it had Tyler James Williams, Chris from Everybody Hates Chris, or Mr. Eddie from Abbott Elementary. Like, he was really funny in that. He was an NSA analyst, and you had, of course, the two main characters, Scott Foley and Lauren Cohan. Like, Scott Foley, I watched him on Grey's Anatomy, cried for his death as Henry. Then I saw him on, of course, Scandal, and like, I was like, okay, well, I could watch Scott Foley. Like, he's a great actor. I could see him. And Lauren Cohan, she was in, very briefly, she was in The Vampire Diaries, and she also was a part of the Walking Dead series. So, I mean, I did not watch all of The Walking Dead. I got up to maybe season two, and then I just didn't continue. But that's not the point. The point is that I could watch these two on TV. I was like, all right, I can see this as a thing. I can follow them and understand. And Whiskey Cavalier is basically a code name, right? It's just a code name for the people, or for Scott Foley's character. His name was Will Chase, so then he was Whiskey Cavalier, and Lauren Cohan was Frankie, and her code name was Fiery Tribune, And oh, man, this show was so good. Like, I don't know why it got canceled, honestly. I guess it didn't have as much viewership, but I thought it was funny. I thought it was so funny. And this show came out in 2019, and it only had 13 episodes, so it ended really quickly, but it ended on a cliffhanger. And I'm just like, no. And that's the other thing too, is that a lot of these shows, because they end without warning that they're gonna get canceled, you get stuck with a cliffhanger, and you just kind of like, what the cuss? You know what I mean? Like, why? Just why? All right, why? And honestly, it made I could see how it got canceled. Like, looking at the ratings again, it was another show that brought in a bunch of viewers. Like, it came in, the pilot episode had over 4 million viewers, and the next episode had five, and then it went down from there. It was like three, and then two, and then three, and then two, and then three, and then two. But by the end of it, by the final episode, it only had almost 4 million viewers compared to when it brought in 5 million viewers. So I could see that. But it was such a, in my opinion, I thought it was a really well done show. You don't really see a lot of espionage shows where there's action and funny and romance. You don't really see a whole lot of that. I mean, to me, I didn't really see that. So, like, if there's a show that's similar to Whiskey Cavalier, I might watch it. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the 13 episodes that we got. I think that it's one of those shows that I could easily watch if, like, I have nothing better to do. I could just pop that on and enjoy it. And have a good ride, have a good outcome with that. But it just, bah. It's so upsetting. It's still very upsetting that these shows just come and go, you know what I mean? Speaking of another show that quickly came and gone, Stumptown. Stumptown was awesome. It was a crime drama with some comedy, but it was such a great show in my opinion. And it came out in 2019, and in May 2020, the series was renewed for a second season. But then they ABC reversed the renewal decision and canceled the series after one season. They said it was because of the production delays caused by COVID-19, the pandemic, and it meant that the series wasn't going to be ready for when the time was right. And Oh my word, I'm so pissed. I was so pissed off because I really enjoyed the show, and I told myself because of past trauma, and I say past trauma, you're like, oh, what trauma are you talking about, Kay? Listen, the past trauma I'm talking about is the fact that I didn't want to get involved in another show only for it to fail. And I mean, like, not fail as in like the show is terrible and I hated it. From like I started watching it, I was like, ah, I don't want to watch it. No, I mean like failure in terms of like I actually watched the show, I enjoyed the show, I was like enthralled in the show, and then by the time the series comes to an end, or the but by the time the show comes to an end, like at the season, at the end of the season, and I'm sitting there like, now I gotta like look it up. Now I have to find out if this particular show has been canceled. I used to do that. I would go as soon as the seasons were up, as soon as, you know, all of the I would go straight to Google and I'd be like, all right, I would go to these different websites to find out if my show was canceled. And all of these websites would give, like, there was this one particular website that literally told you everything from, okay, CBS, CW, NBC, ABC, Fox, and FX, all of it. Like, it would tell you these shows are most likely going to get canceled. These shows are most likely going to get renewed. These shows are sort of in the middle. Like, it could go either way. And then they had like shows that said, like, well, this one is leaning more to a cancellation but could be renewed. This one is leaning more to a renewal but may not be. Like, there was so much information and detail into how the show was going to go. And I was like, Stumptown, I was like, okay, this show is really good. It's about a sharp-witted military veteran who struggles to get by, and she takes care of her younger brother, and she deals with PTSD, and she's kind of a drunk. But, and you know, she was involved in an explosion, like a injury that killed her lover, who was also, you know, her college sweetheart and everything. So she's got all of this bogged down on her. Meanwhile, it's played by the famous and fabulous Colby Smulders, you know, Agent Marie from the Marvel series, like the Marvel Universe. And she was also in How I Met Your Mother. Of course, I was going to watch a TV show with her because she's an amazing actress. And it had Jake Johnson from The New Girl. So I'm like, yeah, I am hooked. I'm in it. I want to watch this show. You know what I mean? And then it got canceled because of stupid COVID. COVID, man. I was so cussing mad. Because if it hadn't been for COVID, I would have another series, another season of Stumptown. Why was it called Stumptown? I have no idea. It was sort of based on a comic book series of the same name. And, you know, made an adaptation for television, which was cool. And I remember seeing the trailer for this show, and I was just like, oh, this looks interesting. Like, she's a veteran, so she's kind of like not a cop, but she's still solving problems and dealing with different things. And I thought it was such a good series and good show. And you know, it had the viewership. It wasn't like super high. The first episode brought in 5 million views, and then it kind of like was steady between 3 million and 4 million views. And by the end of it, by the end of the season, it gives you this heck of a cliffhanger, and you're just sitting there like, oh wow, you know what I mean? Like, and it had a 92% approval rating from Rotten Tomatoes. So I'm thinking that of course this show is gonna move on. It needed to, you know, build itself up. The amount of viewers who watch TV and the amount of viewers who were following based on like TV DVR and DVR viewers, because that was also a thing. I don't know if people still DVR things today, but when, you know, a couple of years ago, not that far ago, what, 2013, this show came out in 2019. Before that, people were DVR and everything. They were recording their shows because, like I said, if like prime time was heavy, heavy competition, prime time. So if any show were to make it and like continue to get that recognition of watching, it would be based on who viewed the show live and who viewed the show like a little bit after. So every show had its own time slot, and it the this show came on like Tuesdays at 9 or something like that. And then another show would be on the same at the same time frame but on a different channel. So this was on ABC, right? Stumptown was on ABC, but they had other shows that were on CBS, NBC, Fox. And if you were watching something else, you can easily DVR another show and record that, so you can watch one show live and go back and watch the other show right after. When I was a kid, that was not a thing. If you didn't watch one show, you weren't gonna watch it. Like, it just wasn't gonna happen. I mean, give or take, there was ways, and I'm not telling you that I did this, but I'm saying there was ways to watch a TV show or even a movie online for free. I know that there was ways. I know I had friends that knew how to do these things, but that wasn't always the case. Like, if a show came on, it wasn't exact. There wasn't, well, I mean, I know for a fact that there was a certain website you could go to. There was a certain website that you could go to be able to see that show right after it aired. And I mean, this didn't really help the viewership, but at the same time, like, if you didn't want to miss out on anything, you went to that website and watched the show. I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying that I did this. I'm just saying that that was an option for people. And shows like this, shows like Stumptown, it was just like, where it was a really good show, you kind of had that feeling that it was going to get renewed. The fact that it got canceled because of COVID just sucks. And now I'm going to go back into time for the next TV show series that I'm going to talk about, Firefly. I bet you didn't think I was going to say that, but yes, Firefly. It was an American space western drama created and written by Josh Whedon. And let me tell you this, okay? This TV show premiered in 2002. Where was I in 2002? I was finishing up 5th grade and going into basically junior high. That's where I was at in my life, all right? That's where I was at. I was going into junior high school, so I wasn't really thinking about this particular show, Firefly. I was sort of still watching cartoons and TV shows that were geared towards my age, I think. But when I got older, I had a boyfriend who was like, "Oh, have you ever seen this show?" And I was like, "No, what's it about?" I mean, I've heard of it. I've heard people like comment about it. I've heard people say like, "Oh, Firefly is one of the best shows that has ever come across the TV show spectrum." And I'm just like, "Okay, cool. What's it about?" And no one was able to really tell me, except for him. So anyway, so now I'm much older. Years has passed. And he's like, "Yeah, there's this show called Firefly, and it's got Nathan Fillion, it's got Gina Torres, it's got Alan Tudyk, Adam Baldwin, And I was just sitting there like, "Okay, cool." So I'm like, "How do we watch it?" And I go over one day, and we literally watched every single episode in. No, actually, I lie. We watched 7 episodes in one night, in one day. And then I came back later and we watched the other 7 episodes. And it was interesting. It was quite interesting. The show explores the lives of a group of people, some who fought on the losing side of a civil war, who make a living on the fringes of society as a part of the pioneer culture of their star system. And it's based like it's a futuristic episode. The series is set in the year 2517. And after the arrival of humans in a new star system, and follows the adventures of the renegade crew of Serenity. And it's a fire class spaceship. And the ensemble cast portrays 9 characters who live on that ship. And they kind of like have their own lives. they kind of blend together, they intertwine, right? So here's the backstory. It's set in 2517. It's on a variety of planets and moons. The TV series does not reveal whether these celestial beings are within one star system, only saying that Serenity's mode of propulsion is a gravity drive. And it's got the host, the captain, Nathan Fillion, he's the captain, right? And basically they go from planet to planet and they encounter different bot beings and different like interactions. And really it's based on a book, like the show was based on a book. And sort of like the captain, he finds a crew, finds a job, and he keeps flying. So it's sort of like Guardians of the Galaxy, but not. It's more so about a group of ragtag people who just kind of like come together and they do any kind of job that they can, and then they keep going. It's also kind of like Futurama, which I don't remember when Futurama came out, but it's kind of like the live action Futurama, if you could think of it like that. If you've never seen Futurama, then this doesn't really apply to you. But it resembles like the ship, whatever, resembles a firefly in general arrangement. And there's all of these different show elements and things that like I didn't know about. Like they know how to speak Chinese, and they know how to speak Mandarin, I'm sorry. And like or they curse in Mandarin. But it's just so interesting. It's such an interesting TV show. And yeah, it developed this huge cult following, even though the episodes, like I don't know, like the episodes weren't, or the viewership wasn't as big when it came out. Like it had a pretty decent viewership for each episode. There was at least 5 million people watching every week. So, or at least four or 5 million people watching every week. So it's like, what were the standards back in 2002? You know what I mean? Like, why is it that that wasn't enough to keep the show going? So I don't know. Like Joss Whedon, he has his hand in a lot of different TV shows at that point. He was involved in Angel, and he was hugely involved in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So it's just kind of like, this should have been another one of those successful TV shows. Why it wasn't a success, I have no idea. It's like I watched it several years later, and I'm just kind of like, well, what happened? And so I mean, obviously, because it's got such a cult following, they created a movie called Serenity, which I also watched with my boyfriend at the time. And oh, that movie was like, ah, oh. It was a really good movie. It kind of summed up everything. But I was still kind of a little bit shocked that the just like watching it, I was like, why didn't it get con like what happened? You know what I mean? Like there wasn't a whole lot of terrible reviews. I mean, it got 77% ratings on approval ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. So like it's pretty interesting that the show didn't continue, but it has a huge fandom. There's a lot of people that still are very loyal to this show. There's a lot of people that, do dedications to the show. Like they'll have Firefly nights and all this stuff. Like, it has, there's online forums, there's self-styled brown coats and things. Like there are fans that really loved this show. And I mean, I think every year it sort of gains more followers, more people. It's basically a cult now. Like this show, if you were like me, where I had no idea that this show was that popular, and you've never seen it, don't talk to someone who's seen it, because they'll tear you a new one. But what? Why haven't you seen the show? You have to see the show. You have to see the show. I mean, I'm not there yet, but I did really enjoy this the time that I wa when I watched it. And like there were times that were a little bit confusing because of the placement of the TV show. Like some episodes are a little bit out of order, but other than that, I thought it was a really good show, and I was surprised to understand that it got canned after only one season. Another show that had a huge cult following and still probably does is Freaks and Geeks. Freaks and Geeks came out in the 1990s, okay? It came out night well, I say 1990s like it was throughout the entire no. It was literally 1999 to 2000. And this show follows teenagers who are not your typical pick of the litter. They have a very like I want to say like satire life. It's they're not popular, obviously. It's called Freaks and Geeks, and it reflects on the sad, hilarious unfairness of teen life, where these young teens they're going through everything that your typical teenager goes through, like relationship drama, school drama, having younger siblings, having like a coming of age kind of thing where there's younger siblings that are trying to be more mature, be seen as adults. And it follows the young teenage Lindsay Weir and her younger brother Sam, who attend William McKinley High School during their 1980 to 81 school year. And I thought that the portrayal of the 1980s in this TV show was actually fairly depicted, because even though I didn't grow up in the 80s myself, I've seen several different TV shows and like pictures, and it looked like they really captured, that 80s essence. And so now the show is a cult classic. It was created by Paul Feig and, an executive produced by Judd Apatow. And it's set in the suburban high school area in Detroit. And just like it was on NBC, and I don't know, like I liked the show. I know I didn't watch it when it first came out in 1999, but I watched it after the fact, and I was like, huh, it kind of looked like a TV show that made sense in for its time. Like I don't know, maybe I know that Firefly was quote unquote ahead of its time, but it feels like Freaks and Geeks might have been ahead of its time as well, because the we have to take into account what was going on in 1999 to 2000. Like people were, 1999, people were like, let's party like it's 1999. Let's, we don't know if we're gonna make it into 2000. Y2K was all over the place. Everybody was like, oh my goodness, this is a new millennia. What's gonna happen? Are we gonna make it? Everybody was hope was on pins and needles. By the time 11:59 hit on 1999 December 31st, so people were not really like, I don't, in my opinion, I don't think people were too like engaged in what was happening with every TV show that was going on. But the series, they had a pretty decent viewership. Like the first pilot episode brought in almost 10 million views, and then it declined greatly. It went from 10 million to maybe 5 million and so forth. But like it had some ups and downs. Again, this was one of those shows that it might have been in a terrible prime time spot where it just didn't, it didn't grab as much viewership because of something else being on TV. And with that being said, like, 'cause it had a huge cast. Like there are, if you do like a 6 degrees of separation kind of thing, a lot of today famous actors and actresses can be traced back to Freaks and Geeks. I mean, not just the main cast, but just like there were a lot of like recurring characters and guest stars and cameo appearances that had, you would think that people would want to watch this show based on those little tidbits, right? I mean, it had Linda Cardellini as its main protagonist. It had John Francis Daly, James Franco, Sam Levine, Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, Martin Starr, Becky Ann Baker, Joe Flattery, Busy Phillips, and then on the recurring end, it had Steve Banos, Tom Wilson, Ben Foster, which who I met at Crate and Barrel one day. That was really cool. Kayla Ewell, Joanna Garcia, like Lizzie Kaplan, like there were so many actors and actresses that came out of this show, or like they might have been on the show for a little bit and then boom, now they're bigger than life. But the fact that again, these TV shows that they were unfairly canceled, like it just, I don't know. And for me it just obviously felt like it didn't need to be canceled. It had on Metacritic, it was scored 88 out of 100, and that was based on 26 reviews. On Rotten Tomatoes, the show has a score of 100% with the average rating of 9.70 out of 10, based on 32 views. So it's like, how did it not survive? How did it not survive? So like, for the cancellation, one of the cited reasons for the early cancellation was its inability to gain an audience due to its erratic scheduling and poor time slots. See, this is what I was saying. Those time slots were super important. It was competing with the highly rated Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You guys remember that show? Dun, 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 dun. With Regis Philbin? Who wants to be a millionaire? Is that your final answer? Like, yeah, I remember watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Wait, I didn't watch Freaks and Geeks, mostly because I didn't. It wasn't geared towards me. Like, 1999 to 2000, that show wasn't geared towards me. I wasn't a teenager yet. I was almost a teenager, but I wasn't a teenager, so I wasn't really watching that. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't watching that at all. So I was watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I remember being at home, feeling that the listening to the music and the doo doo. Like when they're trying to make decisions and they're like, "Well, let me use my backup. Let me call home or whatever." Like I still remember watching that one episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire where the guy makes it all the way to the end and he didn't really use much of his backups, but he was so he and it's a very famous clip, but he basically was like, he was gonna answer the question. He made his decision, and he was like, "I think I'm gonna use a backup." And he's like, and Regis is like, "What? You're gonna use your backup now? Like after all this time, who are you gonna call? What's gonna happen?" And he's like, "I'd like to call my wife or my girlfriend or something." And he was just like, he's like, "Okay, let's do it." And he calls her. He calls her, and he's like, "I'm about to be a millionaire," and everybody is just like, "Ah." And so he answered the question. He wins the money. Everybody's freaking out. It was crazy. I don't know. I don't know how that man is doing now. I don't really follow his life, but that was a memorable episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. There's been some others where people would get all the way and then they'd fail, or they wouldn't even make it past the first question. It's just like some of the first questions are super easy. How did you not know that answer? How'd you even get on the show? Reality game shows, man. Anyway, so back to Freaks and Geeks. Like it was competing with a lot of other shows like Frasier and Friends. Like those shows were bringing in over 14 million viewers, and poor Freaks and Geeks were only averaging 7 million. So you could see how that factors in to why this show got canceled. And again, it's just interesting because the irony of it is that like people weren't really interested in seeing what the life was like of a public school or a teenager or whatever. Like I think that for this particular show, Freaks and Geeks, I think it probably would have been more well received on another network, like I don't know, the N or Maybe, but at the same time, I don't know that these other TV show networks were really around. Like it could have done really well on maybe TNT or TBS or even FX or something like that, and then it could get a little bit more, you could do a little bit more, you have a little bit more leeway with FX shows or FXX, but it didn't survive. It didn't get to survive with the competition with the other TV shows that was around it. And that's usually what happens, is that other TV shows were on, and that is why these other shows got canceled. Like, you as a viewer, you make a decision to watch a TV show, and if there's so many things to watch. Listen, before DVR, like I said, before DVR, before you're able to like stream it, it'll come on the next day, so you have the opportunity to just watch it on the next morning. You got Hulu, and Hulu's like, hey, you could watch it on ABC, and then you could watch, if you miss it on ABC, then you could watch it the next day, or you can watch it live and then watch it again. Before all of that, if there was no opportunity to watch the show again or watch the episode, then you just didn't watch it. And that is because, like, if and this is how trial and error happens. Like, this is how DVR happens. This is how we're able to watch shows now, where we don't have to wait until it's syndicated. We don't have to wait until it's on DVD. You can literally watch things either right then and there, or the next day, or like a few hours later. Like with Hulu, if you miss a show, then you could literally watch it at like 2 or 3 in the morning as soon as it comes on Hulu, because that's when it came on Hulu. Bringing us back into the 2010s, the TV show called Limitless, which was based on the movie with the same name. It's a comedy drama television show that was on from 2015 to 2016, and it was the continuation of that movie that had Bradley Cooper. Now, what I think the bigger issue with this show is that because it already had a good movie, and the TV show promoted that Bradley Cooper was going to be more re it looked for me it looked like Bradley Cooper was going to be a lot more relevant in the TV series, but it stars Jake McDormand as Brian Finch, who also discovers the mystery drug of the NZT48, and it unlocks the full potential of the human brain and gives its user enhanced mental faculties. So, I thought, because of the trailer, like, oh yeah, Limitless. I remember the movie, I remember watching the movie. And all of a sudden, like, now instead of following like Bradley Cooper and his way of doing whatever he was doing, we're following this guy who's a burnt out, struggling musician who just happens to find the miracle drug that ha allows him to access every neuron in his brain. And so, like, even with the movies, like, same thing. It's like this drug lasts for a few hours, and then you have to continue to take the drug in order to continue to be that smart. But with this show, Limitless, instead of it being like, okay, he's like Eddie Mora, Bradley Cooper's character, who just happens upon the drug, and then he's like dealing with all the stuff and trying to figure out ways and blacking out and all this stuff. Instead, we have Brian Finch, who just, he is provided with this shot, and he helps the FBI with their criminal cases. I liked the show, don't get me wrong, like I did. I liked the show. I liked how it had Jennifer Carpenter and Hill Harper in it, like I liked the different recurring guests like Blair Brown and Colin Salmon. Like, I enjoyed the show. Like, I thought it wasn't gonna be that great, and then it turned out to completely change my mind. It had a full 22 episodes, but the downside of it was that, like, it ended. It ended on a cliffhanger, because even though even though Bradley Cooper's character wasn't in every single episode, he was still kind of like in the background a little bit, controlling certain things. But he, what happened is that in the development process, Bradley developed a television series based on the movie, and it was a good concept. I thought it was a pretty decent show. Like, what other things could he get into? How smart is he really? Like, what are the different challenges that you can like overcome with NZT and like dealing with criminal cases and trying to like help the FBI and not really like, out himself and all this stuff? And then it dealt with a lot of different things, but I thought it was good. I don't know. Like, on Rotten Tomatoes, it got a 57 approval rating based on 47 views, and like, it's even it was a even with a likable hero. This was a consensus. Even with a likable hero, Limitless couldn't overcome its credit. Its shaky and hole-ridden narrative. But I think the biggest problem was the ratings of the show and the viewership. Like, when it first came out, it was pulling in almost 10 million viewers, and then by the end of it, by the season's finale, it only had half that. It had like 5 million, or just a little bit over 5 million views. And like I said before, the views are really what drive a show, and the ratings were, they seem consistent according to the IMDb and everything, but I guess the show just couldn't stand on its own 2 feet, which is why it got canceled. But they also had DVR viewership, and so the total viewership definitely was in the higher ranges, but overall, it didn't work out the way we all thought it would, which is sad because I really liked the show. The next show on the list is called Pan Am. It was this TV show about like a period drama television that was mostly about the Pan American World Airways. So, like, basically, aircraft pilots and stewardesses of this fictional world in the early 1960s. And I thought it was a cute show. It had a lot of great actors and actresses in it, like Christina Ricci, Margot Robbie, Kelly Garner. Like, that's some pretty big names. Michael Mosley, Michael Vogel or Mike Vogel. So I thought it was a good show. I thought it had a lot of potential to being a pretty good show, but it only lasted from 2011 to 2012, and it was a very short period of time too, because it only had like 14 episodes. 14 episodes. That's it. That's all we got. And I was drawn in by the trailer. I thought that the trailer was really intriguing. I'm like, oh, this is a period show about some, group of people who are stewardess and pilots, and they live this life of a little bit of adventure and intrigue and espionage. It was just kind of very interesting. And of course, there's romance and drama and all that stuff. But again, the viewership is what people go on. And when it first came out, when the pilot episode aired, it literally had almost 12 million views. But it did not hold up because the following week, that dropped to like seven, almost more than 7.5 views. And by the time the show came back after its hiatus into February, so like it went on a hiatus in December, didn't come back till January, it was pulling in almost 4 million views. And so I can understand how a show gets canceled, but my thing is that when I'm watching a show and I'm invested in the show, I don't know how many other people are watching the show. And really, in 2011 and 2012, I want to say that there was a thing, like Twitter was sort of a thing, but people weren't really like driving the show. There wasn't a whole lot of people that were just kind of like, let's bring back Pan Am. So I felt, like I just watched a new show and I'm like, well, this seems fun for me, but it didn't really last. And it was given a 67 out of 100 on the Metacritic based on about 28 reviews. And so, you know, there wasn't as much interest in the show for other people. And it's interesting because it pulled in so many people from the trailer, from, like, you know, the very beginning. So I'm just kind of like, well, if it couldn't hold up after that, then, you know. But I still stuck to my thing where I would watch a show after three episodes. If I can continue watching, then I'd watch the whole thing. And I did. And so after 14 episodes, they're just like, all right, we're done. And I'm like, ah, oh, man, another show is gone. This is so unfair. I don't like it, but that's just what happened, you know. It's too bad, but there wasn't enough pull for the show to continue on. I mean, if you start off a show with almost 12 million views, and then by, like, before the half point of the season, it's only pulling in less than 5 million, then yeah, you're gonna get canned. But of course, I didn't follow those things before. Now I have to, like, if I'm watching a new show, now I have to, like, check to see to make sure that the viewership is up. So I'm like, all right, well, if the viewership is up, that means it's a good chance it's not gonna get canceled. I still follow those things, especially for the new shows that come out all the time, like Abbott Elementary, Not Dead Yet, all of these shows that are coming out, and they have a wide range of just, like, streaming ability. You could watch it the day after. You could still DVR. Some people still have DVR. You could DVR. You could watch it on Hulu the next day. You could watch it on whatever streaming service that's available, whether it's Peacock or, you know, the Paramount Plus. They have all of these shows that just come on afterwards. Even the websites, you can go on websites and watch TV shows of things that came out the day before. So yeah, that's a thing. The next show on the list is No Ordinary Family. Do you guys remember that show? That show came out in 2010 and ended in 2011, and it came on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m., and it was on ABC. It was an hour of a science fiction-y comedy drama where a family had superhero powers. That was their thing. It was, the plot was just kind of like, okay, so this, they started off as an average, ordinary family that is falling apart due to, you know, normal fall apart reasons. Husband and wife are not getting along, the son is into certain things, and the daughter is not really like, oh, I don't want to be a part of this family, all that stuff. So it's a typical average ordinary family, but the family gets superpowers. They get superpowers after a plane crashes during a family trip in Brazil, and it gives, you know, the father superhuman strength, and it gives the mom super speed, and the daughter gets to have issues with her telepathy, and then the son, who seems like he doesn't have much superpowers, turns out that he has a super brain, so now he's, like, super smart. And so I thought it was a really good show. It had a nice premise, and it had faces that I recognize. Like, for example, the father is played by Michael Chiklis, who is also the guy who was in the Fantastic Four movies, not the ones that were just out with Michael B. Jordan, or the one that was out with Michael B. Jordan that I still can't quite get fully through without falling asleep, but the original ones, you know, with the guy from Forever. Like, he was in those movies, and I'm like, oh, I know that guy. So I was like, all right, let me watch this show, you know what I mean? And then it had some other faces in there that seemed familiar, like Julie Benz, and of course Kay Panabaker, because of her work on Phil of the Future, and her, the fact that she's the younger sister of Danielle Panabaker, you know what I mean? So I've seen her face, and then that was kind of it. But it had some pretty, it had a pretty cool premise, in my opinion. I think that the overall concept of the show kind of lacked in, like, okay, how long could they really do this? If how are they gonna become superheroes? Like, you know, it had a lot, but they also had a bunch of special guests as well, and it was directed by, or com it was created by Greg Berlanti and John Harmon Feldman. So, you know, it felt cool. It felt like it was something different. It felt like something that you've never seen on TV before. This is like prior to Heroes and other TV shows, but I thought it was good. I thought it had a good kind of concept, and it was a full had a full season, in my opinion, 20 episodes. But again, that viewership, so it brought in almost 11 million views, and then the next episode it dropped down, and it kept dropping and dropping and dropping until it ended, and it had half the amount of viewers that it started with. So the pilot episode had almost 11 million views, and the final episode, the episode 20, where it has a spoiler, or spoil, everything's a spoiler, but it has a cliffhanger at the end, because they all do, but it ended with less than 6 million views. And it only the episode right before it only had 4 million views, so for it to jump up to maybe 6, and it was also probably competing with other shows in that same time slot. Tuesday at 8 was a very, very popular time frame for prime TV, but it had critical, you know, reception that was good. It was like there was 65 out of 100, which isn't too bad, especially based on 28 professional critics or whatever. You know, it had a lot of praise to it. The show offered like a comma restrained fantasy about paranormal prowess, and it felt good. It was like there's shows like Heroes and Lost that you thought that this would kind of just kind of fit in with that, but it didn't. And it also gave the Incredibles vibes, like, you know, Pixar's Incredibles, where there's a family of superheroes who kind of do things in the real world. They get their powers through whatever. Even though in Incredibles, we don't actually know how Mr. Incredible and Mrs. Incredible got their powers, but we do know that they gave them to their children. So maybe there's just a family of superheroed people who just kept populating, and, you know, therefore multiple people have powers. But that's neither here nor there. I thought that the show was unique and different, and definitely something that I've never seen before. And I wish it would have stayed on TV. I really do. I mean, I know that the viewership was down, but again, I felt like we could have seen a little bit more to it. A lot of these shows that I'm talking about have been long gone, 10 years old, gone, but the fact still remains that they shouldn't have left. They're gone too soon, gone too soon. The next TV show on the list is called Intelligence, which was an American cyber-themed action adventure television series, and it aired on CBS, and it came out in 2014, and then it ended in 2015. Or no, it didn't even get past 2014. It started in 2014 in January and ended in March. And they literally canceled the series after one season, but it only had 13 episodes. 13 episodes. Like, really? Come on. I thought it was a good show. Another show that was definitely different from the norm. It had action, it had drama, it had espionage, it had science fiction. I'm starting to think that the TV world does not like all of that sometimes. I don't know. But with Intelligence, the plot was basically of this guy who was an ex-US Army Delta Force operator, and he was a high-tech intelligence operative enhanced with a supercomputer microchip in his brain. So someone put a chip in his brain to make him even smarter so that he can do the work and solve crime a little bit in a different way. And with the implant, he was like the first human to ever really connect with it, and like he had like a globalized information grid in his head so he could see it out like out of his eyes and everything, and he can get into all kinds of data centers, and it was pretty interesting, you know? Like I thought that was a cool concept to like have something or someone to be able to fight crime in a different way. And the main star was Josh Holloway. You know, he's from Lost. He played James Sawyer Ford, and he was also Will Bowman on a fictional drama called Colony. And he was even like on Yellowstone. Like I've seen his face a few times, and I was like, okay, Josh Holloway, I'll give you a shot. Especially since I remember you from Lost. That makes sense. And then there was, you know, Megan Ory and John Billingsley, who I recognize from a few different things, but you know, they had some good stuff. PJ Byrne, Paul Jeffrey Byrne is his real name. And of course they had some recurring guests and whatnot, and like I thought the show was cool. It pulled in. So this is what happened, right? Because the thing about most of these shows is the trailers. If you have really good trailers, then obviously it's gonna pull in a lot of people for that pilot episode. But if the pilot episode is literally like the only thing, or like it doesn't really give you a reason to watch the next episode, then obviously no one's gonna watch. And that's what happens with these shows. Like with Intelligence, they pulled in nearly 17 million viewers for the pilot. 17 million viewers. And then the next episode, it went down to almost 7. And then it went down again to 5. And it was just kind of like dwindling between 7 and 5, and 7 and 5, and sometimes 6, and 7 and 5, and sometimes 6. And it only gave us 13 episodes. After that, they were like, well, we are not going to continue. So, you know, I was just like, what? Why? Like, I really like this one, you know? But I really like all of them, to be honest with you. There's all kinds of shows that I like. And I felt like with Intelligence, it kind of gave me like a Chuck vibe, you know? Like, 'cause Chuck, if you guys remember Chuck came out in 2007, and it ended in 2012. So I'm like, okay, well, this new show, Intelligence, which came out in 2014, kind of has that same feel, but it's less comical. Like, it's more drama, it's more like serious. So maybe that's why, but I don't know. I thought the show was good, and now it's gone. It's been a while, but now it's gone. And I know that, like, no matter how much I love these old shows that came and went, nothing is going to like replace them, but I still have love for the fact that they're gone. The next show on the list is called A to Z. I thought A to Z was a cute show. It was so cute. And it had a, you know, a good little premise. The premise story follows the life of Andrew, who's an employee at an internet dating site who dreams of meeting the girl of his dreams, obviously. And then there's Zelda, a no-nonsense lawyer who's raised by a hippie mother and carries a rebellious streak. And it's like by accidental chance of fate that Zelda meets Andrew to resolve a mismatched dating dispute, and the two of them, as single people, find themselves falling for each other. I thought it was a sweet show. I thought it was really good. It was narrated by Katie Sagal. It had Ben Feldman as Andrew Lowland. You know, Ben Feldman, he's in the TV show Superstore. Like, I love Superstore. Superstore is a very funny show. And so, like, when I first saw the concept of Superstore, I was like, oh, well, this seems fun. You know, it's a nice kind of like mockumentary type vibe where we're following people around, but at the same time it's not, because they don't take time to talk to the TV, so I don't or take time to talk to the camera, but it felt kind of mockumentary. Anyway, I'm going around. But this show, A to Z, had Kristen Milioti, and I knew Kristen, like, she's the mom in How I Met Your Mother, and she was also in the movie adaptation of Once. Like, I saw Once in the play, I know that sounds weird, but the play is called Once, and I saw it as a play, and I fell in love with the music. I loved the music. I loved the story concept, and then I noticed that it was a movie, too, and I was like, well, more time to watch, and Kristen has a beautiful voice. Like, she can actually sing, you know what I mean? Again, a TV show that just, what, it was probably ahead of its time, to be honest with you, and that's probably what killed it, and I'm hurt. I'm still hurt by that. I'm still hurt that it just ended. But again, Ben, Kristen, Katie, you know, Henry Zebrowski, like, he was the best friend. It didn't bring in a lot of views for that first episode, but it was not like it wasn't consistent. Like, they didn't even get to the other letters. It didn't get from A to Z because we only got A through M with their 13 episodes in. And I was just, man, it was just, I really liked the show. It was so cute. Such a good, fun show. And yeah, that first episode, it only brought in like maybe 5 million views. Almost 5 million. And then by the end of it, it ended up having like less than 3, which makes sense because it just, I guess, I don't know, thinking back in the time of 2014 to 2015, there was a lot of TV shows going on back then, and like, I don't know, it didn't hold up against those other shows, but I still thought it was pretty cute. It was like, again, the concept was just different. It's like, it's a romantic comedy about two people who happen to fall in love because of, you know, different situations. And I don't know why this show didn't last. I honestly want to know why shows like this didn't last, but a show like The Secret Life of an American Teenager had like 7 or 8 seasons. And yes, I did actually watch all of them. Did I start it at the very beginning? Heck no, because I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and watch some random TV show about a teenage girl who's pregnant. And then I just so happened, because I was watching Pretty Little Liars, I just so happened to see a trailer, because when I was watching TV, you know, there's always trailers for other shows, and because I used to watch ABC Family like it was nobody's business, they kept showing me previews of The Secret Life of an American Teenager, and I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? Like, there was just one thing, it took one thing for me to be like, wait a minute, let me see what this show is about. And so I watched that show, and it was cringe as heck. I should do an episode solely about that TV show and how much cringe it was, because it was so much cringe. Anyway, shows like that get to last for a little bit longer, but good shows like A to Z couldn't even make it past 13 episodes. 13 episodes. Ugh. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I get it, though. I get it. It probably wasn't gonna last very long, but gosh darn it. I had hope. I had a lot of hope. Drum roll, please. You're probably wondering what could possibly be the final TV show on my personal list of TV shows that have gotten cut off, gone too soon after just one season, and I feel like I've talked about it before, but here it goes. It is Lovecraft Country. Yes, I was upset that this show did not get another season. It was on HBO. It was an American horror drama television series, and I don't like horror. I don't like scary, and this TV show was scary, and it put certain people on the map for me. Okay, like Jonathan Majors, I had no idea who he was until I watched Lovecraft Country. And the fact that it didn't get a second season is just mind-boggling. Like, what? Why? You know, why? And honestly, because it was a TV show that was sort of put on, it was not like your normal, okay, let's watch a Disney Channel movie kind of thing where you turn on a TV and like you knew the time that it was coming on. No, that's not really what this show had. It was on HBO and it just like it came on HBO and I was thinking to myself, okay, well, it's gonna have that pull like Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? Like these shows are gonna come on. But no, it had that pull, and there are still people that are very upset about it not getting renewed. But it just they cut it off. They said, nope, we're canceling it. It's done. It had Journey Smollett, Jonathan Majors, like I mentioned before. It also had, I really don't want to mess up her name, but the woman who played Hippolyta Freeman. I've seen her in so many things. Courtney B. Vance, iconic actor, you know, Jamie Chung, like, wow. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, it was fantastic. And I'm saying that with like chills. I have chills on my body because that TV show was so epic. So epic in my mind. I'm still shocked at the fact that I actually even watched it. Like, could you believe that me, someone who doesn't like scary, would watch such a show? The show was freaky, man. Freaky. So many things. So many things I can't get out of my brain. So many things are etched in, okay? But it's fine. It's fine. I thought it was a really good show. It came out in 2020, like at the end of 2020, when people were just still in the house, kind of like, well, I mean, yeah, the end of 2020, people were kind of being a little bit more lenient. They were like, well, let's try and get together for the holidays because we've been cooped up since like March, you know? And I watched this show and I'm just kind of like, whew. Especially a few episodes where just I was literally like watching behind some covers, but I really like I got into it, you know what I mean? Like I did my 3-episode thing. I watched 3 episodes and I'm like, I cannot believe I'm still watching this show. This is crazy. Sad. It's so sad. It had beautiful reviews. An average rating of 8.5 or 8.05 out of 10. That's really high, you know? 79 out of 100 based on 42 critics. They said they generally favored the TV show. And for it not to get picked up, what? It even won awards. It won awards. How do you cancel a show that has won awards? Ugh. I'm still heartbroken over it. Still heartbroken. I say heartbroken like, my heart's broken. No, not really. But at the same time, ugh. According to the information given, it was pulling in less than 1 million viewers. And I honestly think it had a lot to do with the fact that it was scary. And real. Like, it felt real, you know? Like, all of the racism and the spooky dookie, like it felt real. And so it followed Atticus Freeman, who was joined by his friend Letitia, who we called Letty, and his uncle George, to embark on a road trip across the Jim Crow America in the 1950s. Now, if you would have told me years prior that this is what the show was going to be about, I probably wouldn't have watched it, and I'll tell you why. Like, yes, he was in search of, like Atticus was looking for his missing father, and they have to survive, and they're struggling to survive with all the racism and the white America and the, you know, colored people over here, white people over here, and having to deal with sundown towns and having to deal with all kinds of stuff. I'd tell you, I probably wouldn't watch it, but because I was stuck in the house, because I only went to work and I came home, because I had nothing better to do, I watched this show. And it's still very prevalent in my mind. Like, other than every other show that I've mentioned on this episode tonight, this show is very prevalent on my mind. And I talk about it all the time. Anytime some person on some social media platform is just like, "What's a TV show y'all missed that got canceled?" I think of Lovecraft Country. I think of all the other shows too, but the first thing that comes to my mind is Lovecraft Country. And they were in development. Like, the second season was in development with HBO, and it was going to be called Lovecraft Country Supremacy, and it got canceled. And I think, honestly, I think it got canceled because of COVID, because it was produced and created prior to COVID. And so that's why it was able to be on our screens in the first place. Because if it hadn't been for that, if it hadn't been for COVID, I think we would have gotten it. But man, so I'm literally goosebumping all over. There's certain episodes that were established in the novel that exists in the continuity of the series as a novel written by George Freeman II, fictionalizing the events of the series, which is retrieved from the future by his father. Oh man, so wild. But I mean, at the same time, it definitely opened my eyes to the fact that, like, it doesn't matter how good a TV show is. Doesn't matter if the TV show wins awards. Like, studios, the higher ups, whoever, they can cancel things at any minute, and that's just disappointing. Period. The end. That's just disappointing. So, yeah. What did you think? What is a TV show that I missed that you thought deserved more than at least one season? Now, like, there's a lot of TV shows out there that I didn't mention, mostly because I probably didn't watch them, and obviously they didn't have an impact on me, so I'm not going to talk about TV shows that I haven't seen. Like, I'm going to talk about the ones I have, obviously. But what do you think? What are some TV shows that were canceled way too soon? Way too soon, and you're thinking about them right now in a way that you're like, "Dang, I wish that TV show was still on." Or, "I can't help but wonder what would have happened. Like, would these people still be together? Would they be endgame? Would they figure out the puzzle to the key of the whatever?" Just, you know, simple things like that. But that's the episode, folks. I had a blast talking about it. As you can see, it's been a long conversation. So, yeah, let me know your thoughts on what TV shows you think should have stayed. If you agree with my picks here, if you agree with what my TV shows were, you know, a lot of TV shows out there, but these few that I wanted to talk about, they really stuck with me. This whenever I think of that question, like, what's something you wish you could bring back? These are the shows that I think about. These are the shows where I'm just kind of like, yep, this is what I would have wanted back if I could have it, if I could snap my fingers and make a TV show. I could bring it back from the dead. Any one of the shows I mentioned, I definitely would. For sure. For sure. For sure. And with that being said, that's the episode, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Please answer the question in Spotify that says, "What are the TV shows that you think should not have been canceled? What's a TV show that you miss dearly because it got canceled?" Let me know. Or if you don't want to answer there,
go ahead and reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter or even Threads. I'm there. I'm on TikTok. I'm on everything. Okay, guys, you have multiple sources and outlets to get in contact with me. If you want to be on the show, find me from Linktree/KD Time. You can submit a form to be on the show, or you can simply send me a quick email saying, hey, I listened to your episode and I want to be on the show. Then let's do that, you know. Coming up, it's Thanksgiving, so I'm going to take a little break. There's not going to be a new episode, but I will still be social media friendly. So, you know, if you want to reach out to me there, or I'll say happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I love Thanksgiving. It's my favorite holiday. So that's why I'm not doing an episode. But I'll pick this right back up where I left off the following week. So stay tuned for that. And yeah, just have a great holiday. Enjoy yourself. If you want, listen to the episodes if you're not doing anything special. Or if you are doing anything special, share this with your friends. Share with people you don't know. I don't know. Just this is what we do this for, right? So it's, you know, it's very giving. I'll be very thankful if you share this. All right. Anyhow, y'all have a good one. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you later. Deuces.